All right, Sunday morning, 10/6/24. This is the Prophet's Corner and Cut, and the title of this is Touch No Unclean Thing. So we're going to go over to Genesis chapter 3. It never ceases to amaze me, the spin that the Lord has on His Word. Things that I've never thought of. All right, Genesis 3. Verse 1 there, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we know that she saw it and partook of it. All right. It says, when Eve said touch it, she was referring to physical touch, not referring to physical touch. You know, that's what I always thought. Well, he told Adam, but did he tell Eve? Maybe she got it secondhand, she didn't get it right. If, you know, can't even touch it. How can you tend something you can't touch? You can't. You have to be able to touch it, to tend to it. Well, that's not what the Lord, or what was given reference here, is this. She was not referring to physical touch. You must realize that these were spirits that lived in a body and had a soul, made in the image and likeness of God, and were to create just like God created. God thought, and then He spoke. Okay? Just hang with me. Go to Genesis 1. Everything we create, we touch. Think about that. In the beginning, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, so what's he talking about here? Well, here, right here, the Holy Spirit, it says he was brooding. He was brooding over the waters. Think deeply is what it means to brood. And that kind of meditate. All right. And God said, he thought and then he said. This is what Eve was saying. She touched the unclean thing, not with her hands, but with her thoughts. The enemy got her mind off of God's word and what he said onto what the serpent was saying, and he beguiled her, and she did eat. All right, Isaiah 52:11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, Jesus makes a statement to the Pharisees. We're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 5. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Touched it with his mind. That's what Eve was saying. Because see, that's how they created, just like God, in the likeness and image of God, just like we are created in the likeness and image of God. That's why we have to think upon the right things. Good, lovely, good report. Not the evil, but the good. Because we can touch something. So that's what God was saying, because I always thought, well, she just was misinformed. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. I said, well, I didn't mean that by that. You touch things with your mind. And that's why we're to dwell upon the Word of God, so when whatever we're touching is good, not evil. No, not unclean, but clean. So it didn't matter, the man had already committed it in his heart, whether he took action to it or not. You could say he did it in the spirit. He committed the act in his heart, rather he actually did the physical deed. That's why we have to guard our hearts, because that's where the production goes on. We have to. All right, Proverbs 4, read this many times, but it perfectly explains this. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. See, God had a plan for the man and the woman. And what happened? Satan got her off God's plan. And Dumbo standing over there, watching it all, never said a word. He didn't do anything about it. Who could have stepped in and said, "Oh no, you're not doing that." Now, she might have had repercussions and he maybe would not have. I don't know. But he went along with it. He took the fruit and ate it too, that was forbidden to eat. So they were co-conspirators in a rebellion against God, simply because they touched it with their thoughts. That's pretty serious, isn't it? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is Proverbs 23:7. I was trying to talk to someone. Who was it? Who was on the phone too? Okay. We were talking about homosexuality and how it's a thinking process. It's, you know, you can look at Romans chapter 1 and see that it's depraved thinking. Any kind of sin is. And how a homosexual can come out of it. I was telling this person, I said, yeah, I've even given instructions before that you can come out anytime you want to if you renew your mind. Because what have they done? They have taken the narrative of the world that's in the face of everyone, in everything that you can imagine, the news, you know, when they infiltrated everything, everything projects what they want you to see, like movies. It's like you're under a projector screen, and then what they want you to know is what's being projected. And you're going to have to be strong in the Word of God to keep you from turning your head to that, putting your thoughts to that. And I told this person the story of this young man, and I forget his name. I think he was on 700 Club at one time, but he was a homosexual, had been, I guess, his whole life. And he said he had gone to a coffee shop, and there was a group of Christians over there at the table, and they invited him to join. And so he sat there in the group with these people, and they invited him to their church. And he said that Sunday he went to their church. He said, "I didn't see any of the people that invited me," but he said, "I sat in the service and I cried the whole service. And at the end there was an invitation to be born again." He said, "I gave my life to the Lord." And he said, homosexuality went from being like 98% to nearly 0% in my life, and Jesus became my identity, not that. And so that's what I was saying to this person. I said, it's a matter of getting your mind right, touching the right thing and not touching the unclean thing. They're there because they think they are that way. Born this way. No bigger lies ever been told. You were not born that way. Okay, Matthew Now, I've read these scriptures to y'all many times, but maybe you might look at it a little different today. This is Matthew chapter 15. I believe anyone that will give me a little chance, if they'll sit under the teaching of the Word and they'll get in the Word for themselves, I don't care if they're a thief or a murderer or a rapist or a homosexual or transgender, God will transform them back. His Word has transforming power. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes, the Amplified says. So you may be able to pray what is a good and perfect will for you. I think I left some words out. But anyway, you get the picture. What I'm saying here, this is what the world needs. It's the Word of God. Okay, 15. We'll just start with one there. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were at Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You know, a lot of people, they don't know what the Word of God says. They think they know what it says, and there's where the problem is. They think it says this, but it doesn't say that. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Well, that's what they teach in our church, and that's what I believe. Brother Hagin dealt with a woman that she didn't believe in healing. She was fixed to face a surgery, serious surgery. Brother Hagin got her to see in her Bible, it was a Schofield Bible, but anyway, we won't go into that today. But anyway, in that Bible, she saw something that she hadn't seen before. She said, I know my pastor, he would teach it if it was right. He would never lead me astray. Well, Brother Hagin just showed her where, you know, Jesus has already done it. And that's when she got to look and she said, you got the same Bible I got. Like, who put that in there? She's just going by what the preacher said. She wasn't going by what the Word of God actually said. Anyway, she didn't have to have the surgery because they prayed and God healed her. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. This is those touching, those thoughts. This is what comes out of a man. Thoughts. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Surprise. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? See, even today, they've convinced people that if you don't eat clean and if you don't take these pharmaceuticals and if you don't do these exercise programs and if you don't get on the protocols where you, when you're this age, you go have this tested and that tested and this tested and that tested and everything. They've got people on that track that this is God's medicine and this is God's way when it is not. It's that awful thinking you got that they're programming you with. And they're programming you, telling you, get to the doctor, get to the doctor, get to the doctor. Let's do this test, that test, this test, that test. Well, you got this and you got that. Oh, you better have this surgery. You know, you might die if you don't have the surgery. Do you see it? Have God said? Well, he said his word, by his stripes I was healed. Well, hath he said? Hath he said? No, no, you know. It's like the man Brother Hagin talked about. I believe it was Brother Hagin. The man, might have been Brother Copeland. Every person in his family, every male, died, didn't reach age 40. Brother Hagin. And so, when he got around that age, this stuff started happening to him. One day he's driving down the road and he told that thing to get out of his car, that it was not going to attach to him and he would live and not die, and he did. He lived 80, 90. If it had taken that thought, he'd have died at 40. You know what? Jesus took all sickness and disease for all time, and we can choose to believe it or not. You can choose to go the way of the world, and they'll eventually kill you. I mean, that's their agenda. They don't have any other agenda but kill, steal, destroy. Pollute your mind with Satan's agenda. There's the game right there. From the very beginning, this has been the game. It's a seed war. They are trying to take out God's seed. We are God's seed. Oh, are they going to be running scared when the sons of God finally get to step up in their fullness of the power that God has invested in them? You won't see no hiding or hair of any of them ever again. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. There you go. There's the thought, the mind, the will, the emotions. And they defile the man. You can just, you know, observe where you go and just listen to people talk. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What they're thinking on and where they live comes right out of their mouth. For out of the heart, this isn't the organ, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You know, I wonder where all the washing of the hands, well, that was one of the Old Testament customs, but washing the hands and all that kind of stuff. Cleanliness is next to godliness, really? That's not what it says. When you believe the truth, it doesn't really make any difference. I'm not saying don't wash your hands, but you get the drift of what I'm trying to say here. These things that have been passed down to water down what God's Word has said. Okay? Mark 7. The companion to this. Tell you. That's why I said guard your heart, for out of it issue, or those of the issues of life comes out of that. Seven. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, verse 1, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. I'm telling you today, there's so much church tradition that people are not going to make it because of it. They have substituted brass for gold, just like Brother Hagin brought in 1988. Is it 88? The book? Huh? Anyway, he was seeing the decline in the body of Christ then. If he were really, I mean, I know this expression is not correct about rolling over in your grave, but you know what? If they could come back and observe, they'd say, oh my gosh, what has happened to this place just since I left? Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, like things ye do. Telling you, you got to take all these vitamins. Then they find out what they put in all these vitamins. Kind of like what they put in all the vaccines. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, you're not going to honor your father or mother. You're going to make an excuse to say why you won't do the honorable thing. You'd know about that, wouldn't you? Ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He called them dead men's bones. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Let me just submit something to you today. God made the world the way it was, and it was perfect. A lot of people think, well, it just everything went to pot. I don't know that that's so. I think as they embraced Satan's narrative, the world began to change from the greatness that it was to the cesspool it is now. That's what that word that I just read is going to be. We're going to start going back the other way. As the glory of God begins to become prominent and the wicked starts to be removed, the tares are removed from the wheat, the atmosphere in the heavenlies, that heaven's going to be able to break through. It's no longer going to be blocked off by all these high places of the enemy. All right, if any man has ears, let him hear. And then when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart. That's the production center. This just goes into your stomach and out in the draught, is what Jesus said, basically. But into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Evil thoughts. Touching things, the evil, the unclean thing, with your thoughts. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Sounds like our world. All these evil things come from within. Thoughts that defile the man. I'm sure most people have never seen that way, but it is absolutely the truth. All right, Genesis chapter 6. Thank you. Start with verse 1 there. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why it says when the Lord comes, it's going to be as in the days of Noah. I mean, tampons in women's restrooms? A men's restrooms? Really? And it repented the Lord that had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So they messing with the animals. If you read the book of Enoch, it goes into detail about that. They're doing that now. Talking about the chimeras. I've heard different ones talk about they have seen chimeras, which they're a cross between an animal and a human. And they're horrible, distorted, terrible. Anyway, we won't go into that. Romans chapter 1. It's going on, same old thing from the very beginning. Because she touched the tree. All right, 16. I gave this person this scripture, this passage here. I said, a lot of people don't believe that homosexuality is in the New Testament, but I said, Romans chapter 1, it is up front, blatant, Paul, right in your face, right here. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Abraham lived by faith. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. So this has been God's way all along. He's always been a faith God. He hasn't changed. That stupid temple set up, that was just where he could just have a little bit of fellowship with his people, even if it was the high priest once a year with blood. Because what happened in the garden? He had no more fellowship with this man. He could not contact him. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's why we're born again. We worship in our spirits. We can't worship God in the flesh. And all this was an earthly sanctuary and fleshly things. And God said, I'm fed up with it. There's some places like in the old, if you read through the Old Testament a lot, he'll say, I'm fed up with your fat rams and lambs and your blood. Yeah. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. Here we go back to the beginning. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, that they are without excuse. You know what? I'd like to be able to go into all these major big dog truthers that think they have it all together and they're going to do all the Q assessments and all this stuff. And all this yuck, just blabbering all over the place about everything. I'd like to just sit down and just take them from Genesis to Romans 1. There's your problem right there. Shut this other stupid stuff up. It's the devil. It's the devil. Nothing's changed. It's the same from the beginning, it says right here. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. In other words, God's saying, just look at nature itself, and it shows you what I created and how I created it. You don't see the animals having homosexual affairs, do you? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Reprobate mind. And their foolish heart was darkened. This is the problem. That's why this is the battlefield. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds. This is where the problem is. Strongholds. It takes the word of God to break down a stronghold. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Like, you know, like Baphomet? Like the arches of Baal? And to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. In other words, their minds. Unclean minds. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So now all their idols are of animals and they worship that instead of the real God. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We really shouldn't be surprised, because you can see throughout the scripture in different places, especially the Old Covenant. I mean, the tribe of Benjamin got totally nearly annihilated over homosexuality. The other tribes rose up against them. They had to get them virgins from other types of people to have wives, because so many were dead that the whole tribe was nearly extinct. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You have to be sick to do that. Especially men. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Unclean thoughts. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. See, this is the devil's agenda. He hates man. One of that little movie about the UFOs that I archived and I watch occasionally, there's a man that's a Freemason on there, and he's a young man. He says these entities hate man. And he said, they have to have our help to get things done, because they can't go build a rocket ship or do something like that. He's a Freemason. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's our world right there. All right, the beguiling is still going on, just like in the garden. We're still in our garden, and the beguiling is still going on. People are still choosing to touch the unclean thing in their minds. Guard your heart, like Proverbs 4 says. Right here is where production begins. Touch not the unclean thing, it says. Man is producing perfectly as it was from the beginning, for good and for evil. Not just good, but for evil. I'd say mainly for evil, depending on if they touch the unclean or the clean. All right, I got a few scriptures here, and we'll be done with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Show me verse 1 there. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. Nor, this is why I have a problem with Christians that get on the air, and you might hear them say the F word 10 times in a broadcast. That bothers me. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There's a lot of people mixing it all up. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Is it really a shock to you that Satan would try to come to steal the word and convince a lot of Christians that, oh, the word is antiquated. They got it wrong. They misinterpreted it. It's not right. All these other things are right, though. Doctrines of devils. Myths and legends. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Yeah, they are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what Christians ought to be doing. You know, and all these things, I'm going, what about the gospel? We hear all these things, and all these Christian podcasters, but, you know, you think, what about the gospel? All right. Mark 6:31, and that'll be the last one of this. Matthew. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That's the importance of keeping today, today. Don't borrow from tomorrow.